My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Spring Training Podcast for the Yankees and the Mets on this Sunday, February 28th. Earlier today, Ed Coleman and I hosted a show in New York leading up to Yankees Exhibition Baseball. We touched on both teams during the course of our show. So for today's podcast, it's a double team edition. Ed Coleman and I talking about the Yankees and Mets. Here's a little sample of our conversation from earlier in the day.
Back on the fans, Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman. We are here in until 1 o'clock. Yankee baseball comes your way then. John Sterling and Susan Waldman. It is Michael King getting the start for the Yankees. You'll see the big guys, Cole and Tyone and Kluber and all those guys probably later in the week as they make their way through. King and a few other relievers I will have for you shortly once I figure out where they're written down.
I was going to ask you if you have any sense. It's early. You know, if you have any sense of what the 1 through 5 might look for or might look to be for the Yanks this year.
Yeah, I think, listen, 1 is Cole, and obviously 2 is Kluber and Tyone for me, and 2 and 3, and 4 is Jordan Montgomery for me.
Okay, gotcha.
I think that's pretty fair to think that that's what's going to look like a month from now. I think the fifth spot is wide open, and it's going to be rotating. And here's where the Yankees and Mets have kind of an advantage, Eddie, and they're kind of in the same boat. There are not many teams that have a starting pitcher this year they think can make 32 starts and throw 200 innings. The Yankees have one in Gerrit Cole. The Mets have one in Jacob DeGrom. Mm-hmm. And even coming off of last year, I think that the fact that both of them stayed healthy, made all their starts last year, you can probably kind of revert back pretty close to 2019 levels as far as workload for them and think that they're going to make all their starts. Maybe you dial them back a little bit and maybe you got to skip a turn, or maybe they don't throw maybe they throw 185 innings instead of 200. But that's a pretty good advantage for both of these teams to have, and know that you can count on somebody every 5 while you're trying to mix and match with the other spots.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's going to be fascinating to me to see how teams handle this. We were talking to Carlos Carrasco yesterday, and Carrasco has been a horse, you know, in Cleveland. He's pitched 180, you know, 200 innings, whatever, but when he had the leukemia back in 2019, he pitched 80 innings, I believe it was, and he had 60, I think it was 68 last year. He made 12 starts, so he made all his starts. But, again, it was a 60-game season, so everyone has shortened innings. So now you've got 2 years of that. Can you go back to 200? Now, he's confident he can,
yeah.
But do you believe that? You know, are you necessarily going to believe that?
I don't think you let him. I just don't think, probably true.
Yeah, probably true. And again, I think it's you know, 1 year, if you take a guy like DeGrom or Cole in your instance, you know, 1 year, then that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, the shape they're in and the kind of guys they are, they're the aces of the staff. But other guys, you know, if you're 2 years removed, and it's I think it's risky. David Peterson, you know, where does he land? Okay, he pitched great for them last year and was a revelation, and you know, looks to be, you know, the fifth starter. What, you know, since they've brought in Taiwan as the fourth starter, you know, he looks to be the guy there. But at the same time, you know, where does he land innings wise? He pitched 130, you know, a couple of years before, I think the 2 years before. But you know, can you push him beyond that, 170, or you know? So it's going to be fascinating to watch, and how many pitchers teams actually use during the course of a season. Instead of seven or eight, is it going to be, you know, 10 or 11 this year? I don't know, you know?
I think it's going to be, I think when you hear Aaron Boone talk about 10 to 12 starting pitching candidates, I think he understands that he's probably going to have to use that many. Yeah. And that's not even considering injuries. I think the idea is, you know, the idea is kind of coming together when you see what the Yankees went after when they went after Kluber and Tyone, guys who have had some injury history and, you know, didn't pitch a lot the last couple of years. Why are they going for those guys and slotting them into the 2-3 spots in the rotation? Well, for the reasons that we're kind of talking about, Ed, is that you don't have anybody outside of the top guy who you can say is going to make 30 starts. So and this is all stuff we're kind of piecing together, and they're going to have to, they have a loose plan. You know, Aaron Boone's got it mapped out for about the first month, he said. But, you know, everything changes as you go day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the idea is going to be that you can't count on anybody else for 30 starts, but can you get, I don't know, 20, 24, 25 good starts out of these guys? And as you get those, where do you find the rest? Do you drop them in? Do they miss a turn altogether? Do you expand it out to six for a turn? You know, the double headers, do you stack people and piggyback guys? These are things that are all options and will probably all happen in addition to guys missing time with injuries. This is why everybody, I think, is going to really be after the depth of starting pitching. And when you're seeing guys like the Yankees have Yuli Chacin and Nestor Cortes Jr. and guys like that who have some big league experience, this is what the pitching plan is going to look like in 2021. You're going to adjust, and you're just going to say, okay, you know what? We're going to have a six starter this turn, or this guy is going to miss an entire turn altogether.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the Mets, you know, it's kind of in the same boat, too. They have the Jordan Yamamoto's, you know, who's going to start on Tuesday. Sean Reed Foley, that you remember from Toronto.
From the Blue Jays,
Mike Montgomery, Jared Eichhoff, who's looked good, a former Philly pitcher, and then he went to, I think, San Diego. But, you know, and he's, I think he's in his 30s now, whatever. He was actually pretty good for a while there with the Phillies, yeah. But one thing that I think both clubs can bank on, certainly with the Mets, I think they can, and I'm pretty sure with Severino, the Yankees can as well. But Syndergaard and Severino coming back, you know, mid-season, you know, it's kind of like getting a trade at the trading deadline. You get a pitcher, but a stud pitcher like that too. Syndergaard's looked very good. I'm not sure about where Severino is at this point. You can update that, but Syndergaard is throwing and looks good. He says he wants to be ready for opening day, but that's But that's Noah.
Yeah.
So, but that's good. And one thing I wanted to shout out to Noah too. I don't know if you saw it, but
I did. Go ahead.
Anthony with Anthony Cossi on photo day. You know, he gave a shout out to Anthony, which was really nice, and I thanked him for it too. That was special. That was really
nice. I know.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been almost a year. Anthony Cossi, photographer for the New York Post, who if you covered sporting events anywhere in the city, you saw him, you recognized him, and
saw his pictures.
Prince of a guy, and I know I have some pictures that he took of me in my collection.
Yeah.
You probably have some as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a beautiful, beautiful man. We lost him a year ago in the early parts of the pandemic. Mm. And Noah Syndergaard gave a little shout out to him on the Mets photo day. The players, you know, players don't love us so much sometimes, but they love photographers, and nobody loved anybody more than Anthony. It was nice to see.
He was great.
the shout out to him on photo day the other day.
Absolutely. But where's Seve at this point?
Severino's been throwing. He's been doing his long work out to 120 feet. He should be getting on a mound for the first time. Less than 2 weeks, I believe. So
They're
looking at him in the midsummer. And listen, as much as Syndergaard wants to say he's ready for opening day, everybody knows that the smartest play is, you know, when you say the Tommy John recovery is 12 to 18 months, the smartest play is to push closer to 18, not closer to 12, and not say, oh, I can do it in 11 months. You know, that's not a race you want to win because it's hard to manage that. And kind of what we're talking about this year, Eddie, that's a great advantage when you're thinking about, okay, do I have guys that can give me 15 good starts? Do I have guys that can give me 20 good starts? Well, Severino and Syndergaard could probably give you, depending on when they come back, anywhere between 12 and 20 great starts.
Yep.
Not just good, great. And if you manage that right, if you protect them from themselves, as you probably kind of have to, it sounds like, with Noah, you can really give yourself a boost at a wonderful time of year.
Yeah, no, the difference, you know, Noah's been, well, he always pushes himself. I think the difference, Severino's a free agent after, 2023, I think, right?
He is that, yeah, he's got, let's see, he signed a four-year extension. He's already, he's already 2 years into it. He's got two more.
Yeah, two more. So yeah, because Noah's a free agent at the end of this year.
Correct.
So that, you know, on his side, that's the impetus for him to get back and get as many starts as he can. I understand it, but at the same time, I think you have to be smart, like you said, and and come back, you know, when you're ready. Remember when it used to be that everyone was rushing to be the first guy back, you know, to be the earliest guy back from Tommy John surgery, which made no sense. Eventually, that wound down when people realized, oh, if I take a little bit longer time, then I'm going to have longer on the other end, you know? So,
Well, I'll tell you what, you know what makes more sense to me, and I don't know if anybody could in Syndergaard's camp would explain this to him. I understand free agency is the big payday, and he is well within his rights to have that, you know, have that be at the forefront of his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But if he makes, I don't know, if he comes back and makes 10 great starts as opposed to 20 mediocre ones because he's kind of fatiguing in his first year back from Tommy John, if he comes back and makes 10 great starts, Ed, it's less wear and tear, it's longer recovery, and people will see that, you know, the great side of it, he'll cash in just as easily if he makes 10 great starts.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. And, you know, the other part of it, too, is you can, you know, you can also sign a short-termer, you know, if you want. And, and stay. Listen, he loves New York, and I think he wants to stay, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But you can also sign a short-termer, and, you know, he's young enough. You can go into free agency after that if you want, you know, when you're fully healthy, supposedly. So we'll see how it all works out. But it's a huge plus for both teams looking down the line, you know, to get those guys back right around the trading deadline. It's, you know, it's like making a trade and putting a stud pitcher into your rotation at that point in time and getting, as you said, you know, 15 to 20 starts thereabouts. So
Mike King, Asher Wojciechowski, the former Oriole, Lucas Lutke. I'm trying to read my own writing here. Sorry. Oh, Kyle Bearclaw. You used to see with the Marlins.
Oh, yeah.
Nick
Big
Gitte
arm.
And
arm.
Adam Warren all scheduled to throw for the Yankees today. Warren's coming back from Tommy John.
Yeah.
He's another guy. Nick Gitte is starting.
Where'd he go?
Was
he in San Diego?
He went to San Diego.
Yeah.
He went to the, you know, he went to the Cubs, came back, then went to San Diego, and now he's back for his third tour of duty. Nick Gitte started as a Yankee and ended up going getting big league action with the Indians and Rangers in his back throwing. Chance for a bullpen roll there. Warren is a non-roster guy, but you know, the Yankees have a history with him. So if he throws well and there's an opportunity there, you can look at that. I noticed the catching depth for the Mets is something that's been in question. They actually added Caleb Joseph, I saw. This came down late yesterday, is that right?
A couple of days ago.
A couple of days ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So Caleb Joseph, you know, he's not going to hit very much, but you're talking about just adding, you know, capable catching depth in the event of an injury for a couple of weeks. That's a terrific add.
Yeah, they lost Ali Sanchez, who's kind of a depth piece for them. They also have Patrick Mazika, who's on the 40-man roster, a fairly decent hitting catcher. Nito, Tomas Nito, is the backup, and I still think he will be the backup. You know, he made strides offensively last year, a short season, and he came down with COVID, people remember, when the team was in Miami. That was the shutdown that the Mets had. Nito was the guy that came down with it, and there were other people that were in contact with him, but he never came back from that, and he had a rough time of it. He didn't have any after effects in the offseason. We were talking to him earlier in the week, but my guess is if he continues to show offensively, some improvement like he did last year, he's a decent defensive catcher and will probably be the backup. But Joseph is there for, he certainly can help. You can draw upon him, and he's a guy that guns down base runners pretty well. I think he's in the 30-40% range, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
As far as knocking people off the bases, so that's something that can help. As you said, not much of an offensive force, but James McCann is there for that for them. So we'll see. They're in better hands. Wilson Ramos, was here for a couple of years, and pitchers weren't in love with Wilson and his work. McCann moves in, and they're in better stead. Let's put it that way, behind the plate. So.
For sure. Good signing, good veteran signing. It's kind of what you need at the catcher position. Especially, not a lot of people have catching depth right now, and you didn't get a chance to, the Yankees didn't get a chance to graduate guys last year, A to AA, AA, AAA, nobody did. So
right. You
had to bring in some different guys, and that's, I think, Joseph falls in line with that with the Mets as well. We'll take some of your calls along the way here, 877-337-6666. Sweeney Murdy and Ed Coleman here. Listen, before we hit another break, I want to ask you about one guy that you know pretty well that we're going to get a good look at, and it's a different kind of spring for Jay Bruce. He is probably going to have to perform. This is not about, he's a veteran player, but this is not going to be getting in shape and maybe get your swing together in the last 5 or 10 days of spring training. He's a non-roster guy here with an outfield that's already pretty crowded. Now the Yankees have signed Brett Gardner. Bruce has a little versatility, being able to play first base, but I don't think he can get through a spring hitting 190 and count on a roster spot. You've seen him up close a little bit with the Mets. What do you think of his chances?
I think it's stacked against him simply because if I remember correctly, he's not a fast starter here in spring training, and I get what you're saying. Yeah, I think he's got to show something in the spring, even though he's a veteran and they know the things. He has always been a streaky player, even in Cincinnati. Wherever he's been, he's always been the kind of guy that you look at the numbers at the end of the season and say, that wasn't a bad season. But, you know, during that season, you had a 4-week stretch where, he couldn't, hit himself out of a paper bag, and was making no contact at all. But then again, then he goes on a hot streak, and that's kind of Jay. That's kind of his M.O. I don't know if he can roll through spring training and impress people that way. So I think that makes it more difficult if he's got to show something there, and got to show that he's a keeper. I think he's a good guy to have around and a great guy to have off your bench. Even late in games. But at the same time, I do think it's stacked against him a little bit because I'm not so sure he's the quickest of starters. So.
The Yankees' situation with Brett Gardner is a good one because you have outfielders that get hurt frequently, like Hicks and Judge. Frazier is your everyday left fielder getting that chance, and Gardner is a perfect backup to both Frazier in left and Hicks in center. And I think he's going to have a chance to maybe take some, at least get some rest days or take some at-bats away from Hicks against right-handers. I think the splits work out very well in the Yankees' favor that way. But it leaves you with really just, you're going to have a 4-man bench. Mm-hmm. You're going to have one of those is Kyle Higashioka as backup catcher. One of those is Brett Gardner. Now you have a 2-man bench, and one of them has to be a middle infielder, right? So that's, let's just say Tyler Wade probably has the inside track on that. That leaves one bench spot. Mm-hmm. And I've got Mike Tauchman. I've got Jay Bruce. I've got Derek Dietrich. Tauchman doesn't play first base. Bruce and Dietrich do. But guess what? DJ LeMahieu plays first base. And can I think he offers some real flexibility in how the Yankees want to manage that bench, because he's essentially their backup first baseman and third baseman. So it gives you some options, Ed, but it's still a very small window for these guys to make the roster.
Well, Tauchman might be in some trouble, too. And I think he dipped last year a little bit as well, too. Didn't his power numbers come down?
Everything came down. He said he had a shoulder issue that wasn't an excuse, because he could play, he could post. But he talked yesterday about a flat bat path that really affected him against velocity. And he's worked in the winter to correct that. That could have been part of the shoulder, too. Mm-hmm. So, but clearly, he took a big step backward last year.
Back to Bruce, just for a second. You know, the problem that I see is this. You know, Jay has always considered him himself a full-time player.
Yeah.
He never liked sitting. Now, has he adapted to that, you know, later on in his career? That won't be the case in New York with your club. So can he adapt to that? He always wanted to play and always felt if you run me out there every day, eventually the numbers will be there. Well, that's not going to be the case. You know, I think anyway you slice it, he may get run out there occasionally, but it's not going to be on an everyday basis, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think, you know, whether he's adapted to that or can adapt to that, I think, therein lies a lot of the solution to it. But at the same time, I'll stick to what I said before about spring training. I think he's probably got to show something in the spring to manage to stay there, too.
I'm looking at his spring numbers here. And earlier in his career with the Reds, it was he had some pretty good ones, had a couple of bad ones, didn't matter. He was an everyday player.
Right.
With the Mets, he had in 2017, he did not hit very well at all. Hit 205, right. 644 OPS. Then in 2018, he rebounded very well. Hit 310, slugged almost 600, had himself a good spring. 2019 with the Mariners, that was, again, a really good spring. Hit 400, slugged 700. So the last couple of years, he's gotten used to the idea of
getting better with age.
Yeah, playing. he's played well in the spring. Summer camp last spring before the shutdown, he was having a good spring with the Phillies. That wasn't even summer camp numbers. So, again, he was hitting pretty well. So the last couple of years, he's gotten much better, I guess. So this idea is new to him, but we'll see if he forces the Yankees' hand to make a decision. He's got an out like most of these veterans do towards the end of spring training. And we'll see what happens. But that's something that they're going to have to that's what's going to be interesting to watch. See how they construct their bench and what they can do to maybe not lose some depth. Can they, can they keep guys in the minor leagues? Will they accept going to the minor leagues? Things like that.
I think a lot of guys probably have, it's around March 25th, I think, which is about, a week?
Week
before opening day, basically. So a lot of guys, I think, have that in their contracts. And, we'll see how that all works out. But, he's got a shot. Listen, he's a good guy to have off your bench, and certainly if injuries occur, and they do with the Yankees, he's a good guy you can plug in there as well, too. And that swing, I think, would be very adaptable to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
That would be nice.
Later in our show, we spoke to Brett Boone. If you missed that conversation with the older brother of the Yankees manager, Aaron Boone, check it out on the WFAN Audio On Demand page, on the WFAN.com homepage, and links on my Twitter at Yankees WFAN. The daily podcast covering both the Yankees and Mets continue on March 1st. The Mets will play their first exhibition game. The Yankees exhibition game schedule continues as well. And we will be officially 1 month from opening day, which is April 1st. So a little getting started, a little get your feet wet here with some exhibition play. And before you know it, we'll be into the games that count. So keep coming back here at the WFAN.com homepage and the Audio On Demand page for our daily Yankees and Mets spring training podcasts. I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.